technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and I'm your host for the next hour, whether you like it or not. We're going to talk about cars and car questions. My co-pilot today is Bob Jones from Quality Transmission, and our navigator is Greg Ice, his manager. And Bob, what was the title that you had? If he's the manager, then what are you?
I was the owner.
You're the owner.
I was the owner.
You're the El Jefe, as we call it?
I'm the guy that signs a check on the front.
On the front? That's the difference between a Republican and a Democrat.
Really?
Yeah, the Republican signs the front of the check. The Democrat signs it. I heard that the other day. I thought it was funny.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, it's not that I believe it, folks, but I just heard that.
Okay.
We don't do political stuff here, but what we do is we do car stuff. All you have to do is give us a call. If you'd like to join us and you have a car question, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If you're outside the metropolitan area, if you're listening on the internet, then you can call us using our dime, 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. We made those as easy as we can. If you can do mechanical or any kind, but we've got two transmission experts here. So if you have a transmission question, when do I service it? When do I don't? What are you trying to do over
here? I'm just dancing.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's... And I've also got some important stuff to do, but I want to start with... Bob Jones was in the Air Force in Vietnam, 19 to what?
68 to 71.
68 to 71. And folks, Bob gave me a DVD the other day that has six chapters in it.
Yeah.
And it's videotape of the Vietnam War from his perspective and from his... That was a little Cessna 110, or what was that?
172 is what I started in.
Okay, but what was you flying over in Vietnam?
F-4s.
Oh, those are jet motors.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so he has this... Well, I thought it was a 172 you were flying, but it's an F-4?
That's correct.
So Bob's flying an F-4. He has lots of the videotape, but no sound with them, and so Bob went, if I'm not mistaken, and you're describing the entire six chapters of what we're seeing.
Right. It's fully narrated.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So you gave me one of those.
Right.
And I have been watching it. And I'm going to tell you something. I think it's unbelievable.
Didn't that look like fun?
Well, I don't know if it looks funny. It looks kind of scary. The one guy that went down in his airplane, what I thought was so awesome is, as you said, take a look at the two in front of you. There's a ridge to your right and a ridge to your left, and right in that valley is where he crashed.
Yep.
The question is, how the hell did you know that?
Because he told me.
Well, I know, but he wasn't there then. How did you just know that area that well?
Yeah. I was a forward air controller at the time, and in flying up there nearly every day, you become very familiar with the territory. It's like driving around your neighborhood every day for 6 months. And the only problem we had is they initially told us that their location was about 12 miles away from where it really was. So I wasted an hour trying to find them.
And you're in your F-4.
Right.
But you're not going to land and pick them up.
No.
Okay.
No, I was the on-scene commander waiting to find them and then orchestrate the rescue using a Jolly Green Giant.
Okay. So, folks, the reason why I bring this up is number one, I want to thank you because the Vietnam War is a war that I was 2 weeks from participating in when Nixon called the draft in 1972. And my lottery number only had two numbers on it.
Wow.
So I was on my way.
You were going to short one.
I was on the short list. And Nixon called the draft, and I regret not looking at the military to make me a man, which my mother says today that is even questionable, as opposed to a young kid.
I ain't going there.
Okay. But thank you, because you and your generation fought that war on behalf of me and my family. But folks, the reason why I bring it up is here's the filter. If you were in Vietnam during those periods of time from 1968 to 71, then Bob has agreed that if you'll send me an email, mark@marksalem.com, I'll forward them to Bob. He's at Quality Transmission. Is it qualitytransmission.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Quality-trans.com.
Okay. Then Bob will send you one which and he has, it's just great narration. It's this, here's some 750-pound bombs, and that camera has to be right at the door that lets them go. And then here's some 500-pound bombs, and here's, what are those things that spin? Those they had four prongs in them, and they went down.
Those
like
are high drags.
High drags.
Yeah, we dropped them at like 75 feet above the ground. So you didn't want the bomb keeping up with the airplane and going off on the ground, blowing you out of the sky.
Okay.
So it was to retard the travel.
Okay. So and it like I got that. Your narration was good because you could see the treetops as you were dropping those.
Yeah.
And then you could see the explosion after the airplane went away.
Yeah. Sometimes we refer to it as we flew low enough to the trees to drag the stuff off.
Off, yeah. Did you ever get in any trouble? Like, did your commander ever call you in?
No. Not that I want to talk about.
You know, all my life, even when I started with Salem Communications here on KKNT, I met the general manager, and I said to him, where do you want me to sit? And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, well, inevitably, you're going to call me on Monday morning, and you're going to say, did you really say this? Get your tail end down here, and I just want to know which chair you want me in. To chew on me. You never got in any trouble?
No.
Were you the commander? Was there a guy there over you?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so, but you never sit in a chair and walked away a little lighter on weight?
Not yet.
I don't. Well, and then let's trade subjects then. You are married to Bonnie.
Right.
Who's from Detroit.
Right.
Let's ask you now.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever been in the chair where somebody's been chewing on your tail end?
Oh, too many times.
Okay. That's what I like about Bonnie. I love Bonnie.
I know
but
that.
But she is such a strong woman, and she has such street smarts, and there is no way she's going to let you get away with hurting her feelings without
letting
you
know. No one puts anything over on Bonnie.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true. So, Greg, we're going to talk to you now. And tell us about Bob as a boss.
Oh, no.
Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he a PIA? tell us.
No, actually, he just lets us run the shop, and he'll come over and do his bossly stuff and then promptly leave. So it's a win-win situation.
And I remember when I was a kid and I had a boss like that, and whatever he said, we'd all shake our heads, and when he'd leave, it'd never get done anyway.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
And he's okay with that.
Yeah. So we got the best transmission guys on the East Valley and probably certainly in the top three of the entire valley. So if you have a transmission question, again, 602-508-0960. And if you have any kind of mechanical question between the three of us, we can give you a pretty good idea because all three of us are in the trenches. All three of us have been doing our work for a very long time. It's not like the three of us are just business owners and really couldn't fix a car if we had to. We all have what it takes. Now, I'm going to have you ask you a question, Greg. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get the question in a minute. BBB revealed America's most complained about businesses last week. This is for the year of 2011.
Okay.
Okay, where's car repair?
I haven't seen the list.
Okay,
I don't know.
There's 10 of them. Okay, number one is roofers. Now, this is BBB nationwide. Roofers is number one with more than 3 million inquiries in 2011, a whopping 39% over 2010.
Wow.
Okay, number two is general contractors. Number three is used car dealers. Number four is?
Auto repair?
Yep, we're number four. Plumbers is five. New car dealers is six. Mortgage brokers is seven. Construction remodeling services is eight. Heating and air conditioning, and I'm assuming that's going to be from the home front,
right,
is number nine. And then moving companies bring up the tail end of the thing at number 10.
I would not have had that same list.
I thought we'd be higher. When I first copied this on the internet, I was figuring that we'd be up there in a one or two position. So I'm kind of happy that we're in number four. And I'm kind of happy that used car dealers are ahead of us. But, okay, I got a customer with an electronic transmission. And he's an older gentleman, and when he drives, he's very soft-footed. So it quick shifts on him. He asked me, I'm not happy with how it shifts, and I say to him, what I want you to do, because you guys taught me what to say, what I want you to do is I want you to drive a little heavier-footed and see if you like the shift pattern then. And he said, I do. Now, I said to him, you need to go talk to Greg and Bob because I don't know the answer, but I'm wondering out loud, Greg, if you raised the pressure on that transmission, would that make the transmission a little better on the soft shifts with light throttle or not?
It would, because it's increasing pressure across the board. So naturally, the more RPMs, the little bit firmer shift you're going to get, the higher the RPMs when it shifts.
Okay, now I didn't even tell you what kind of car it is, but let me ask you this. Typically, on an electronic transmission, is there a number that kind of comes out with respect to pressure?
Well, usually at idle, it's about 60 to 70 pounds.
Yeah. And then when you're cruising down the highway at 70 miles an hour?
It goes up. It's probably 70, 80, 90.
Okay. Now, how much of a window can you adjust?
Yeah, on electronics, it's real tough. Some EPCs you can, some you cannot. Okay. So you have to go by the computer. The computer's telling it when to shift. By giving it more gas, you're telling the computer, raise the RPMs a little
2 minutes.
So it's going to shift
okay.
A little bit later and a little bit firmer.
Okay. So in that respect, if the computer is commanding the shift by us raising the pressure out of the side of the computer, we can make it shift a little firmer sooner.
Firmer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is there
you
a down?
Be real careful on that.
All right. Is there a downside to that? Is it going to take off 1,000 miles of the life of the transmission?
No.
Is it true on an automatic transmission, the quicker you shift it, the longer it lasts?
To a point, if it's too quick, then it's too soft, and the clutches can actually slip.
Okay.
So if it's too soft, then you're at low pressure, and that's not good. You
okay.
always want to have a little bit higher pressure.
All right. So there's a happy medium there.
There is. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And you're limited on how much you can adjust.
Well, I just talked to him Friday. I hope he comes and talks to you. And if this is an adjustable one, you don't have to do it because I'm diagnosing it blind. You
okay.
know that.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
And you know that I barely passed my transmission, ASE. Yeah. Yeah, just barely. That's the one I always have trouble
Wasn't
with.
Wasn't that guy in the shop Friday?
Yes.
1 minute.
1 minute? Was he in the shop Friday? Was I in the shop Friday?
Not you.
Oh.
No, the old guy.
The old guy?
Yeah, that you were just talking about.
I don't know. Was he there?
I thought you had one last week.
I just talked to this guy on Friday.
Yeah, no.
So,
okay.
All right. Well, if he comes in, then you drive it with him and see.
Sure.
I thought if I raised the TPS pressure.
See, that's out of my realm.
Okay.
I've had guys do that.
Yeah.
And they'll even drill little holes and make
yeah.
it adjustable that's not adjustable with some good results
right.
sometimes. Not.
But I thought I'd let you guys see if you could adapt a transmission to his yeah. driving style as opposed to. All right. Well, we've got to take a break here in just a minute, but I want to remind you, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And Monday through Friday, you can stop at our website, marksalem.com, and you can get lots of good information, and my email's there as well, mark@marksalem.com. Don't forget, you Vietnam veterans, mark@marksalem.com. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, I'm Mark Salem. Kelly Clark and I remember when points and condensers were replaced with electronic...
Raised up from under my hood and he shook his head.
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and you're listening to Under the Hood. And I'm your host, Mark Salem, and we talk about cars and cars repair, 602-508-0960. 508-0960. We have open lines available. Rick, we're going to get to you in just 1 second. But aside from Quality Transmission, who are my guests today in Tempe, there's another great shop in town. He's on the other side of the world, though. Kurtz Auto. He's the one that's bringing you this show. He's one of the many, and they have years of experience working on domestic, imports, gas, and diesel. Kurtz Auto is on I-17 and Bell Road, and since 1992, they've been a member of the Better Business Bureau with good standing. Again, they're at 19th Avenue and Bell. Actually, I'm sorry, I-17 and Bell. So if you don't have a garage and you want to try somebody that I hang my hat on, and I want you to understand that that's why I can recommend Kurtz Auto Repair. Let's go to the phones and talk to Rick. Rick, good morning to you. How can we help you today?
Good morning, guys. I have a 2002 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and it's got like 198,000 miles on it, and the transmission seems to want to, not slip, I guess, but when I'm trying to get one to third gear, you're accelerating. Sometimes I'll have to let go of the accelerator and then push it down again, and then it'll jump into third gear. I had it serviced about a year and a half ago, and I'm not sure if you guys can tell me what that might be.
Well, let me ask you a question real quick. Did the service change anything?
It worked fine. It's worked fine for the last year and a half.
Okay.
It started slipping again.
Greg, do you what do you think?
Well, the first thing we would do is go through and do a diagnostic on it.
Okay.
We don't charge to do that because we want to find out what's controlling it, if it's an internal or an outside problem or a valve body problem or electronic problem.
Okay.
So we would go through and do the diagnostic first and see if it's being told what the pressure is.
We've got Tony and Dan.
Okay. So nothing obvious.
Something else you'd also do in that is you want to make sure it's not something like TPS or a speed sensor.
All right.
So there's all kind of factors that can play into this. So you've got to diagnose them to make sure they are working correctly and are not in and of themselves affecting it.
All right. So like, just for clarification, for me, it's he's talking about throttling up, and it's holding that gear longer, but when he pedals it, otherwise lets go and hits it again, it shifts.
Right.
So that could be a pressure problem.
Yeah, okay. That's just like in the old days with a vacuum modulator.
Okay.
And you'd raise your foot, vacuum would go up, transmission would shift.
Okay, all right.
So that's why I tie it into TPS, throttle position sensor.
All right, and the TPS is on the throttle blades, and it tells the computer where your foot's at. And it has a 0 through 5 volt signal, and at idle you're about 0.8, and when your foot's stuffed to the floor, and you're wanting to
get on the freeway.
To get on the freeway. Thank you very much. That's not what I was thinking, but thank you. If you want to flog that son of a gun, then you're going to be reading 4.9 and 4.whatever. Well, Rick, thank you very much for calling. Don't forget that a Quality Transmission, they are free diagnosis. And you know what I like about that? It's this. At Quality, when you go in, they always want to know what's it going to cost, but you can't tell them until you know what it is.
You got to know what you're fixing before you fix it.
And I get that sometimes on the email. They say, you know, here's my symptoms and how much is it going to cost? And I have to say to them, I don't know how much it's going to cost because I don't know, but I'll give you a range between $50 and $500. You know, it's somewhere along there. Tony, you're up next. Tony, how can we help you today?
Yeah, thank you, Mark, and I really want to say thanks to Mr. Jones, for your service to this country.
Thank you.
And, sir, a lot of the folks, unless they've been in that era like you, they really don't even understand what the F-4 Phantom was all about. I mean, it's like flying a semi-truck through the air with two big old, double-barreled J-79 strapped underneath. When you fly something like that down close to treetops, you better know what you're doing, sir, and I know you were doing
I appreciate that. What's your background? You know a lot about it.
Well, I never got into the military. It was somewhat like Mark's situation. Even though I was getting all lined up to be a jet engine technician to work on those engines, but it never came to fruition during Jimmy Carter's tenure. But, sir, again, thank you. Something like that. We used to go out there to Luke Air Force Base and watch those guys take off with full afterburners and that is a sight to behold because they fly away from anybody with that kind of a motor that they got on those things. But talking about transmissions, sir, getting back to the automotive stuff, especially here, heat is the death of an automatic transmission. So what can we do besides just checking the fluid levels and things like that? Maybe do some add-ons or, what do you recommend to, try to get the heat away from that transmission to give it any kind of longevity, sir, and thank you again.
Okay, there's actually a couple of things you can do. One is you might want to install a temperature sensor in the system on your cooling lines or in the pan of the transmission to get an idea of what temperature the transmission is functioning at, because until you know what you're dealing with, you don't know if you've got a high internal heat problem or not.
Okay, what numbers on the top end? When do you panic?
If it's much above 215,
okay,
you're starting to get serious. Now, if you're going up a hill towing and it goes up, no big deal. When you go down the other side, it's supposed to cool.
Okay.
At the same time, if you do have high heat problems, that's the time to consider cooling augmentation of adding an external cooler to help the cooling of the transmission itself. But it depends on the vehicle, the efficiency of the cooling system, and what you're doing with it.
Augmentation?
That's right.
Is that a word you used on my show?
Of course it is. You have good listeners.
Google it. It's a word.
It is really a word?
It's really
augmentation. What, say it again.
Augmentation.
Augmentation. Now, if I Google augmentation, is there any other things I'm going to get?
No, it's straight literal.
It's going to say, Bob Jones says, supplementing the cooling system on your transmission.
You augment the cooling system.
Okay, all right. I'm with you. I'm going to give that to you.
Help it.
Now, we don't have Tony still, right?
Yeah,
I'm here, sir.
Oh, Tony, I want to ask you a question. As a jet mechanic, they have a funny saying on how jet engines work. There's four words, and squeeze is one of them, and do you know what that is?
2 minutes?
No, like I said, I was lined up to get into that situation as a technician. You know, as a kid coming out of high school, you know, that was what I wanted to do, but it never came to fruition. So, like I said, I never actually worked on them, but I studied.
Okay.
You know, the actual, you know, the diagrams, the mechanics and things like that, but I never sat down and got my fingers dirty, you know, playing with the motors.
Okay. Well, if anybody knows that, I want to know that, because it is... Do you have any idea, Bob?
I really don't, but I can add one more thing.
Okay.
When I went through the engine component of training,
okay,
the comment was made, the F4 is a proof that you could fly a brick if you had enough power.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, right, sir.
How fast would that go?
I had it to 1,600.
100 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. Let me check my science here. Isn't speed of sound about 650?
About 714.
714.
That's sea level.
1 minute.
Sea level.
Okay.
So on a standard day.
You're 2 times the speed of sound. Are you
2.3?
Okay. And during that period of time, are you making those sonic booms?
Oh, you better believe it.
And the guys down below, they don't really know if you're dropping a bomb or if you're just making a sonic
boom.
There
you go.
Okay. All right. Well, as far as the diesel or the jet is concerned, it's like suck, squeeze, ignite and push, or something like that.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to take car questions, unless you're a diesel or a jet engine mechanic, and you can tell me what, because I just want to know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bang, blow.
What? Bang, suck, blow.
Suck, squeeze, bang, blow.
That's it. Bang and blow. Because that's how a diesel works. It sucks in air.
Right, right. Yep.
It squeezes the air. It injects ignites diesel fuel and ignites it. That's the bang. And then
and the
blow.
Exhaust blows
is, that's exactly what it is. That's all right. Okay, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. They operate.
All right, I Googled augmentation, and I am
still
finding something way different.
Sure, they fix Kias and Hondas and Chevys. I kind of thought you would, but I think augmentation applies specifically to the breast of a woman.
That is correct,
Seth. Matter of fact, Raintree Auto Body is ranked number one in the entire United States by Mercedes-Benz for their repairs. They have a machine called a Sillette Bench. It's the same jig they assemble.
You knew I was going there because you were shaking your head. Like, shut up, you idiot.
Times 200. Raintree can put your car back to its pre-lock.
And our name is S&S Tire and Auto.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and I'm here at your service with my co-hosts. And Bob Jones from Quality Transmission is the owner, a guy that's been around. You personally were around when Jesus was born, weren't you?
Right after that.
Well, yep. Thank you. And Greg Ice, his manager, is here. So together and between the two of us, we think that we have you covered. On the other hand, if we don't, then we'll do the best we can and lie to you the best we can. How's that?
You told me you'd just buy the car.
Yeah, I'll just buy the car. That's a good idea. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They're a full-service, family-owned, operated shop, 38th Avenue and Indian School. If you live south of Camelback and west of the I-17, this is where you should go. Larry Harker's is a trusted name for quality and affordable automotive service and maintenance in the Phoenix area. Trust me when I tell you, south of Camelback, west of I-17, and you don't already have a shop, try Larry. Now, Harker's is run by Bob and Ellen, husband and wife, and like many shops, they're husband and wife. Speaking of husband and wife, Mike and Kathy at Mike's Auto Tech, and they're on 6844 West Belmont. They're having a car care clinic, and typically it's a woman type thing, a lady type thing, from 9 to 12 on March 10th. So if you want to learn about cars, Kathy's going to teach you a lot about cars and, more importantly, answer your questions. So you have to call them and get an appointment. They're at 67th Avenue, just south of Northern, and you can stop by Mike's Auto Tech, 67th Avenue, south of Northern, or you can send me an email at mark@marksalem.com. And one more thing real quick. The best free car show in Arizona is going on right now until 1 o'clock. It's at Arizona Community Church. Thousands and thousands of hot rods and cars. Now, it's on Warner Road between the 202 and the I-17, or the I-10, I should say, I-10 and 101. You get off at Warner Road. In the middle is Rural Road and head south from there and text Earnhardt's big bull is out front. You can't miss it. I'm going there as soon as I get done here because I love the car show. And it's free, and they got gifts for the kids. They got clowns. They got all kinds of stuff. It's a real Christian, and it's a very family-oriented car show. But the best of the best compete because when you win there, you win big.
Cool.
So, all righty. When it comes to vibrations,
okay,
it's my opinion, you guys can argue with me if you want, that transmission shops are by far the best qualified to deal with an engine vibration, at least the diagnostic portion of it, because you deal with vibrations every day of your life.
Yes, we do.
And how many of the vibrations that you deal with every day of your life, Greg, did you create? No, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly, as you guys put back transmissions,
right,
you get an axle that unloads that inner joint,
right, right,
or you get a bad converter.
Right.
So you end up identifying on the final test drive that I've given them something that they didn't come in with. We do that.
Yeah.
So am I right to say that you guys are probably the most well-versed guys?
We have to deal with it a lot. But the most important thing is that when you take a car in to get it diagnosed, you have to go with the technician.
Okay.
To say, yes, it's making a vibration, or specifically identify which vibration in that car that the tech has never driven in you're concerned about.
Okay. That makes sense. Not too long ago, we had a truck come in, and what year is your old truck?
71?
72. It was in that vintage.
Okay.
And he had a problem with the noise.
Mighty fine vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, you know, I drive it, and it's there. It's just there. And so I said to him, you know, speed of the vehicle or a suspension. And he says, all the time, it's just there. You know what it was?
Driveline?
No, it was weird. It was an air conditioning line.
No.
That was that was mounted solid to the fender without the rubber grommet. So what really would have happened there is if he would have shut the air off, it would have gone away. It would have changed.
We had
it.
Somebody come in years ago that had too long of an alternator belt.
Uh-huh.
And the alternator was so far off that it was close to the fender.
Okay.
So therefore, when you accelerate it, the engine torqued,
uh-huh,
and the alternator just beat on the fender well.
Okay. Those are the ones that, and you're right, because my nightmare as a shop owner, like yours as a shop owner, is you fix the wrong vibration.
Oh.
And it's
that's why you have to involve the driver.
Yeah.
To really identify what it is you're trying to fix.
And what else helps us, too, is do you feel the vibration? Do you feel it through the foot, your feet flat on the floor?
Right.
Do you feel it through your butt?
Right.
Do you feel it through the steering wheel?
Right.
If you touch the dash, do you feel it? And if you have long arms, you can touch both windows. And that kind of gives you an idea of a vibration that's a wind-created vibration up and down the car.
Touch both. Who's driving?
In a Volkswagen. Who's driving?
Who's holding on the steering wheel?
Well, those are minor details.
And you're going to do that and drive down? Oh, yeah.
Those are just details.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now, when you guys test drive a car for a vibration, tell me what the process is. Who drives first?
We do.
Okay. You drive first.
Yes.
And you make them show you the vibration. There it is. It just went away.
Yeah. And if we don't see it, then we'll switch.
Okay.
And let them drive.
Okay. All right. I found out that I let them drive first. I'm not arguing with you.
No argument.
Because
just
sometimes
technique.
It comes and goes.
Right.
This is between you and me. If I drive first and can't get it to happen, inevitably they get in the car in the driver's position and they can't either. Now they're very frustrated.
Right,
I'm not,
right,
but they think I am. And I'm not frustrated at all. So I let them drive first.
Ah.
And then the way, if they can't do it, the frustration level isn't as bad. And I don't have a degree in psychology, but that's just the way you drive and show us. That way we can also throw it into neutral and so forth. All right, here's a hard question. The throttle sticks on your car, Greg. What's the first thing you do?
Check the accelerator.
No. You're driving down the highway at 80 miles an hour. The throttle is stuck in your car. What are you going to do?
Well, after I panic, I'm going to try and shut off the key.
But that's going to kill your power steering and your brakes?
No, just temporarily. I'm not going to shut it all the way off, just enough to cut the engine to where you still steer.
All right. A little girl was killed in Payson not too long ago. And I think the answer is throw it into neutral no matter what you're driving.
I heard that on your show, and I had never thought about that. I didn't realize there was a governor.
Oh, on the motor.
Any kind of prohibitive.
96 and newer. 96 and newer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I was. That's
that
something
I
learned.
Yeah, I don't know that I would do that.
Yeah.
Because you panic, and I think you would
absolutely
want to turn the key off.
Absolutely. But here's the deal. do you crash or do you blow the motor up, even if that's the difference.
That's true.
Okay? And when you turn the engine off, you lose power steering, and it could diesel on you, and it could detonate on you, and it could continue to run anyway if the spark plugs are real hot and so forth.
If the RPM is up. That happened to Bonnie a few years ago. She was driving down Hayden and lost the serpentine belt.
Okay.
So everything was lost right there, and it's in heavy traffic afternoon, and she's got no power steering, no brakes.
Yeah.
She had fortunately coasted into a bus stop.
Okay. And you know who told me this is an old guy? I used to say to people, turn off the key. And he'd say, no, throw it in neutral. And I got to thinking about that, and I'm thinking to myself, that is by far the best. Now, it's true the motor's going to be screaming at you.
Right.
But what you're going to do is you're going to turn on your right turn signal. You're going to pull off to the side of the road. You're going to have power steering and brakes. Then when you get to a complete stop, then you can turn the key off. But really, when you do an opacity test on a diesel, have either one of you taken a diesel down to the emission station and have them do an opacity test?
I don't even know what that is.
You know what augmentation is, don't you?
I do.
Because we Google it on the break.
there was Bob's picture.
Yeah, your picture was on there. The idea is that on the opacity test, they're checking your emissions, and they're seeing how much soot you're blowing out of your pipes. You know what they do on my diesel?
Put a rag in it.
No, they put their foot to the floor and hold it there.
Ooh.
They to put their foot to the floor and hold it
is
there.
Is it in gear?
No, but they're just running a test on the particulate matter that comes out of your toe. Do you know what I was thinking when they were sitting there with their foot on the
floor?
They're
going to blow my motor up.
Yeah. Holy mackerel. So, but I looked into it.
They paid their insurance up.
Well, you know, I asked him, do you ever blow anything up? And he goes, no, diesels have, they start shutting off fuel, the electronic, because they're all electronic fuel injection now, except some of the old ones. And they've got that mechanical pump. But most all everything is electronic these days. So the computer's just going to start killing cylinders and holding that RPM to wherever it wants. I said, well, what do you... My Duramax, I think it's, I don't know, 2,600, 2,700, somewhere around there, I think. And I said, well, how high will it go? And he goes, well, we've seen some Duramaxes come in at 3,000. And I said, so do they leave on their own power? And he goes, yeah. Holy mackerel. But I think if we can get people to understand and think about it, all you do is whether it's on a floor shifter, let me ask you something. On a floor shifter, I want to get to neutral in a split second. Do I have to push a button?
No.
Do I have to push a button? Why not, Greg?
Because it goes all the way up for safety into neutral.
Well, what happens if it goes into neutral and I hit it real hard? How about if I go past neutral and into reverse? Can that happen?
It does happen.
Okay. Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Will a new transmission go into reverse at 60 miles an hour?
Physically, yes. I mean, you can put the shifter in reverse.
Right, but is the transmission going to go into reverse at 60 miles an hour?
I don't think so.
It won't, because I tried it.
Oh.
I tried it. I've tried it.
Give him your card, Bob.
Here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to see if it would happen. So we had a car with a blown head gasket, and the guy says, just junk it. And I thought to myself, he's going to junk it. So I got a bid from a wrecking yard for $300, and it had 200,000 miles on it. So I went out and I thought, well, if my worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to have to buy it for $300.
Yeah.
So I went out and I threw that thing in reverse. But with most shifters, if you just hit it upwards, it'll go to neutral, but it'll hit the stop for reverse.
Right.
So you, on a column shift, you have to pull it towards you to go to reverse. And on a shifter on the floor, almost always you have to push a button to go to reverse. But if you just take the palm of your hand and hit it forward, it'll go into neutral.
Right.
But that's what I want to do, is because we don't really know what happened to this car.
I did that on a 48 Pontiac one time. I was a teenager.
Greg and I weren't even born in 48.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But it was a family car, and of course I was new to driving. Ooh. And I had heard that you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to try it. It just killed the motor, and it didn't do any damage. And I only did it once.
Yeah.
So I got away with it.
Well, I can tell you for sure on this, a 76 Ford Courier truck with an automatic transmission, it'll go into reverse at 60. It won't just physically go into reverse. That transmission goes into reverse.
It shuts the engine off, though, doesn't it?
No. Oh, my goodness. But what it does do is it throws you through the windshield.
Oh, it gives a bang.
Oh, man. I don't know what happened, but there was someone sitting next to me. I think it was my nephew. And we were fighting over something in the middle. Whether it was a soda pop or a phone that was ringing or whatever, I don't even remember. And somehow the shifter got thrown into neutral. And we were on the I-10. And boy, and meanwhile, I'm up there, face planted against the I'm thinking to myself, what happened? And my face is up against the windshield. My belt was on. You know.
I hope so.
Yeah.
No, because you always tap that on there.
Yeah. No, I had a belt on, but it just, I mean, it was scary, but it nothing happened. It still lasted after that, but it was just, there was some chatter marks on the road.
Oh, yeah, a little skipping.
Skipping, all right.
Yep.
Okay, folks, if you have any questions, Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday included, you can always email me. And you can go on our website, and you can email any shop any question. But here's the good news with transmission shops, and Quality and Tempe is one of them. With transmission shops, they're going to take a drive with you, they're going to talk with you, and they're going to do the preliminary diagnosis with you. And the reason they do that for free is because they can't possibly give you a number until they know what it is. In the mechanical industry, it's a little different because we know that our diagnostic procedure... Well, let me ask you that question. Greg, what's the diagnostic window for dollars? I mean, it's low. Here's what I say to people. For a fuel pump, is it a fuel pump? Is it an engine miss? Is it a spark plug? You're going to spend between $50 and $125. What's your diagnostic window?
You know, most time we just do it for free.
Okay.
I don't charge to get to that area that we have a general idea of what's going on and what the next step is, and then we can start getting certain figures for you.
It's actually when you got to put the car on the lift.
Okay.
Get out the scanner equipment, hook it up, take the pan down, anything like that.
Okay, there's
that's where the money starts.
And so in your particular case, and I think in the other guys too, I've talked to them about them, is when it goes into the bays.
Right.
Is when the money starts.
But
as long as
just
it's outside the
bay. Test drive with a scanner, no big deal.
Okay. All right.
And that's what I tell people. It could take 10 minutes. It could take 2 hours. But whatever it is, we do up to that point. We don't charge to do that to get to the point where we can tell them what to do.
All right. Well, I want to thank you too. First of all, I want to thank you for your Army or your Air Force time defending our country, and especially since you and those guys of your air fought a war that I didn't. And so I've always had an affection for Vietnam guys.
I know, and every time I've been on the show, you said that, and I appreciate it.
Well, I have, and I'm blessed because I didn't have to go, although I wish I would have, because like my mom said, it probably
I don't think Vietnam could have taken you.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, for those of you, Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, Mark Salem, mark@marksalem.com. I answer questions every morning. Sometimes I have 200-300. I answer every one of them myself. I don't have a bunch of people answering my questions. I answer the questions. And if you need a transmission problem, and certainly if you're in the East Valley, then Quality Transmission is a great place to go. And here's my promise to you. If you have a problem at one of my shops and the Better Business Bureau tells the shop to give you money back or effect a repair and the shop refuses, I will up to $5,000. So I'm covering the transmission if that happens. That's important to know. So on behalf of Bob and Greg from Quality Transmission, myself, Mark Salem, God bless you. Wear your seatbelt. Don't drink and drive. We'll see you here next Saturday.